Okay, everybody, welcome to Harry and Matt's High Pressure Podcast. Today we have a very special guest in the studio, a very dear friend of mine, Damir Hadžović, UFC fighter, a great friend, a great father, a great husband. We are very, very happy that you are here.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, Damir.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it.
So, Damir, we have... I'm looking so much forward for this podcast because we arranged it a month ago. I've known you for almost 15 years. You have such an exciting story to tell. And I think we should go complete back. Before you started MMA, you started with boxing, no? In Esbjerg.
No, actually, no. I started after I tried MMA. I started MMA. Then I noticed, like, hey... These MMA guys can't box for shit. Like, they have this, there was this in the beginning, that's typical MMA striking. They learn striking. Like, what is this? Because I watch boxing, kickboxing. I know that is not. So, and also because we only have two trainings a week, like Thursday and Tuesday. So, there was a boxer club in Esbjerg. So, they train Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. And I'm like, perfect. Then I could fill out my whole week out and then relax on Sunday. Most people think I began with boxing, but I didn't. I began with MMA, and then I started boxing, and then I boxed boxing matches just to get better, because competition is competition.
I'm always too fast. Harry is sometimes better with the introduction. You know what? Let's give us a please a fast introduction of you. Where you're from? How old are you? When did you start fighting? And
what have you done?
Yes.
What have you achieved? Yes. Exactly.
I am Damir Hadžović. My nickname is the Bosnian Bomber, or I like the Bosnian Viking, because as I say, even though I came to Denmark as a six-year-old, I grew up here, you know, I was taught by this system, so it's like Bosnian hardware, Danish software.
You know, with lot that, was of Bosnian, way, that was a good way to explain.
Yeah.
With a lot of Bosnian, with a lot of Bosnian viruses and bugs, you know, if you understand what I mean, yeah. But I came in 92 from the war. It was war in Yugoslavia. I was lucky to come to Denmark. My great-grandfather chose Denmark. He had a book about Denmark, so I'm grateful for him for that. I think one of the best countries ever to live. I love it. So, and, you know, I came here from Poland, Świnoujście, to Denmark to a ferry. Then we were in a refugee camp in North Jutland, close to Aalborg, from 92 to 95. 95, we moved to Esbjerg.
Oh, so you lived 3 years in a fugitive camp?
Yes, I lived, yeah, in North Jutland.
How was that for you? Was there a lot of trouble going on
brother,
in the fugitive
camp? No, not what you hear right now, because now it's a different situation. At that, there was a different state, a Danish state. They were so good. They treated me so good.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really thankful for these guys. They were there as pedagogues, I would say. These guys were so good. They gave me good childhoods. I have good memories. They were good to us. The Denmark was good to us. The Danish, you know, I'm very grateful.
Denmark has a very good welfare society.
At that time, it was different. Not like now, you hear all these stories because they have cuts downs and, you know, it's always going downwards and all that. But it was a good time. I have a happy childhood. My mother make sure of that, because I came without my father. It was me, my little brother, my mother's father and her mother, my great-grandfather. Yeah. So it was us. My father stayed in the war, fought the war, came in 96 when we already moved to Esbjerg. He come on family reunion. That's how we got out after the war.
Thank God he survived the war.
How long have you been separate from your father?
4 years.
Wow.
And it was crucial, because that point... A boy, I was 6 years old until 10. You know, you need a father figure. That's why I'm so attached to my mother, I think. Every time I need something, I call my mother. Yeah. You know, because...
You spent more time with
her. 4 years without my father. Yeah. And it was crazy. It was like every, let's say, Wednesday, we could call this number. It was called Radio Amatia, Radio Amateur, where they pick up the phone and you say, hey, I want to speak to my father. It was Senad Hadžović. I want to speak to him, so... We knew that if he was alive, if he came, you know, because we said be there every, you know. So every time he came, we knew he was alive.
Wow. And
yeah, it was crazy, right? So
that had a big impact on your mind, of course.
Yeah, maybe that's why also it made me stronger. Maybe I am a little more mentally tougher than the average guy. Yeah. Not I say I am, but because
you're very mentally strong.
Because I know what I do. Yeah. You're a professional fighter, so yeah. You gotta be a lot more yeah. tough than the average guy.
So 100%. That's what I mean. Some of these things, yeah, I think. Because I remember when we were in Bosnia, house was burning. They were knocking on a, you know,
what was burning?
Not door, houses. Not wow. all houses you see in the neighborhood.
Yes,
yeah. My houses. We were in Visegrad, one of the worst areas. House were burning over there in the neighborhoods, and you know the front yard gate. We locked it. It was big. My great my grandparents had a restaurant. It was called Kod Braće. It means at brothers.
Yes.
In center, they came, knocked. They want to get in, but they didn't. I remember all these things. It's crazy. My dad and grandfather hide in the attic.
Yeah.
They were looking for a man to get around, you know, and kill and everything. Yeah. It was crazy. I remember these things.
Who was going there looking for men to kill?
Yeah, it was at that time the special militia. Bosnian Serbs, you know, it was that war.
That war.
Yeah, yeah. It was Bosnian Serbs against Bosnians. And, you know, it was crazy. Religion war. It was like, you know.
Between Protestants and Orthodox? Or?
Yeah, Orthodox against Muslim and Catholics against Protest. Orthodox, Catholics against Muslims. You know, in Bosnia, we have three different is Bosnian Orthodox, Bosnian Catholic, and Bosnian Muslim. I am Bosnian Muslim. You know, and the Bosnian Orthodox, they are related to Serbs, and Bosnian Catholic to Croats. And then we have a small community of Jews. So that's why in Bosnia they call the European Jerusalem. We always live like that side by side. Some couple of years, 100 years, there comes a war. We try to kill each other. That's the Balkan mentality.
But most of the time you live peacefully.
Yes, we live. Now you go through Sarajevo, you see cathedral, church, Orthodox, mosque, synagogue.
That's nuns great. Walking. Everybody living peacefully.
Brother, it
other.
Is peaceful. It's much more peaceful than here in Europe. You see, it is Europe down there, but I mean EU, you know what I mean? Here you see DC, oh, look this guy. Down there, they don't look at you. Do you look? You, a sister walks by, you know what I mean? A sister. Nobody looks. They all speak together. We are different down there.
That's the way it should be.
It should be like that. But politics, my friend, it was not people. It was they tricked people into thinking, hey,
always.
They tried to kill you. Dirty politician. It's always like that.
Always
many of them
the
ended up in Hague, and many died, thank God. And, you know, good. So nobody should be able to kill people. Nobody. And thank God we got away. You know, that was my destiny. I accept my destiny because I found my wife in Denmark. She's Danish. Mm-hmm. I have kids. I don't want it the other way around. You know what I mean? I accept my fate.
It was God's path for you.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
All right, my friend. And then, so you came to Denmark as a young child without a father. So you had to get tough. You had to find your way.
Yeah.
And then somehow you got into fight sports.
Yeah.
How
not,
did that develop?
Yeah. First, like every child in Denmark, we start football. You know, we play football every then. But later, I began martial art. Actually, I began late. I tried everything. First, it was like bodybuilding, you know, strength training. As from 16 years, but then first I was 20 years old. I tried martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
I started late,
mm-hmm.
but before that I was, you know, a little troubled. You know,
a troubled kid. You were hanging out with the bad boys, with the bad boys in SPL.
Yeah, not bad boy for me, but for society, the bad boys. You know what I mean? So yeah, we hang out, did everything. You know, little criminal stuff here and there. But my parents were always strict with me. I know them. My dad always threatened me, if you do this, I'll kick your ass. You better behave. You know, you're a different country. You should use these schools, the opportunities they have. You know, look what they have. You don't want to be a bum when you grow up and all that. See, you know, I'm grateful he came because I think if he didn't come, I would be here sitting here with you.
Mm-hmm.
I sure, because you know, at that respect I had for him when he came back, you know.
A tough father.
Yeah, no, he was not actually tough. A tough love. I know he loved me, everything. But he wanted me to do something.
But he's a tough man. I mean that he stayed for loyalty to his country.
Yes, 100%.
And he didn't run away, you know. He stayed and did his duty.
Yes, I asked him, why did you stay? He said, what if it all went away? Would you have now a place to come here? No, somebody has to do it. Yeah. And he said, fuck it. I'm going to war. If I die, I die. But at least I tried to defend my country. And now if we all ran, we wouldn't have a country now.
Yeah.
Now I can come back every year.
That was a great answer.
I'm proud. At that moment, my dad, he fought for the country. And now I do it in another way. I fight for Bosnia, also Denmark. But I do it in another way, through martial arts. Represent the Bosnian spirit, you know what I mean?
Good. Very good. So he passed it on to you.
Yes, in a different way, 100%.
Very good.
Yeah.
And then you had this saying, I heard you saying a couple hours before when we met and talked about it a little bit. You said, MMA saved my life.
Yeah, so saved my life. Because I began with that time, you know, I always thought I want to be something. I didn't want to, I know this life, I just want to have a regular job and do all this shit. It was too boring for me. I don't know why I am this guy. I don't like these normal jobs. I could never, in ninth grade, they say, you have to now find out what you want to do in life and school. What the hell are you talking about? I don't know what I want to do. So I tried all these things. Nothing succeeded.
What did you try?
Bro, I tried, you know, go to school, Handelsschule,
trade school.
trade school, exactly.
So you speak Deutsch?
Yeah, talk a lot of
trade school.
Here.
Yeah, trade school, a carpenter. You know, Freemason, brother, VVS, you know, how you say?
All the jobs.
Yeah, plumber.
Yeah.
I tried finance, brother, nothing. I stayed a little bit. Then, you know, when you burn for something, you know it. This, I was like, oh, I don't want to go. You know what I mean? I just tried to make my parents happy somewhere. And then I found sports. My friend showed it to me. At first, I was like, brother, who does this thing? Who goes in the cage and fights another man? The first fight I saw was Wanderlei Silva against Vitor Belfort. You know where Vitor, he ran Wanderlei Silva in.
But it was a good fight.
Because you, yeah, good, but I think what, a cage, you know what you associate a cage with? If I ask some normal people, what do you associate a cage with?
Animal,
dangerous animal, criminals, inmates, something you want to keep inside that box, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and then one time my friend invited me. I'm like, well, I tried it. I was totally hooked because there was this younger guy. Not younger, smaller guy, brother. He held me down. I couldn't get up. And at that time, I trained, you know.
So you thought you were strong, but then you saw in the ring.
I could fight. I thought I was a bad guy. But this guy, he was smaller than me.
He used to.
And always,
I
know this guy. I know mentally. I even knew I could. In the streets, I know I could beat him up. You know, because I have the mental edge. There's up to something that means. You know what I mean? But in the gym, where there was gym rules, I couldn't do nothing to him. He held me down like, motherfucker, I have to learn this, you know. And I think, oh, this was also impress the girls. Because I, speaking honest, as a young boy, you want to, you know, I always want that. That's why I train. I want to have good body. As a man, you wanna have girls. You know, you see all these girls. They want this guy. I'm like, oh, I want them to have also me. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah, we are. That's also a drive for your motivation, a discipline.
It's in everybody of us.
It is, brother. You want to be because I want to become. Then I started doing this and I found out quick I was good at it because I have the mental edge. I see when this is easy for me. You just fight. And I just see these guys, you know, mentally they break down and I try one fight, another, and I'm winning. And then Otto, he offered me a pro fight.
Otto, to give a fast presentation of Otto. Otto is like the godfather of Danish MMA. He was like the first one who.
What's his full name?
Otto Knudsen.
Yeah, yes. He is the Danish.
He's the Danish godfather. He's like the Danish Dana White in that kind of way.
He still has events now. MMA Gala, it's called. Yeah. Our guys are fighting this weekend.
This weekend.
Yeah, yes. In all borders.
I'm going. I'm with Morten.
Almost once. Once every 2 months or something, he holds an event, MMA Gala. Very good professional amateur. Yeah. At that time, he only had amateur events. I fought amateur. And then, because I was good and I need more, you know, challenge, I was getting better. So I, every 2-3 times a week, I travel to Odense to train. People thought I was crazy. Why are you going to Odense to train? Because
it's far away from SPL.
It's 100, from my home, it's 138 kilometers.
Yeah.
But just to train. Hour and a half, and then go back 138 kilometers. So 1 hour and a half, you know, benzene money and all.
It's
this.
3 hours and all.
Yeah, 3 hours.
Just
people
driving.
Say, you're crazy. I say, but who's crazy now? You know what I mean? You have to do something, even though it doesn't give sense. But to me, it makes sense.
That just shows your dedication.
Yeah, dedication. Exactly. That's it. The discipline said. Also.
And it's brought you. Like, yeah. And it's brought you where you are today. Without this dedication, you wouldn't have come
100%.
So far.
Sometimes I train boxing 5 to 7. I'm like, oh, now in half an hour, they begin MMA. I go down, train MMA, 1 hour. And my boxing coach, Yancy, was pissed at me because I have to fight boxing. But he knew I was overtraining. He said, why are you overtraining? Because I was getting tired because I was doing too much. Mm-hmm. But my mentality was more is better. It took me years to find out it's not the truth. You know, you got to train
smart.
No. It is sometimes in fighting you have to give it all, but if you just train, not relaxing, you just
destroy your body.
You just go downwards. You have to.
You felt that on your own body?
I felt because I trained so much. Even though I won fights, I remember winning a cup in Hancock. I'm like, oh yeah, I won. He was like, yeah, you won, but you look like shit. Yeah, I'm like, what? Okay. But he was honest with me. He said, you could be so much better if you listen, you know, and I tried to listen a little bit more. But still, you know, I want to train hard, you know. So, but that's what I also see now in young kids in my gym. They train too much. And I try to tell them, easy. You know, I can see it now.
So what is too much?
It's training every day, two, three times a day.
Too much.
Yeah, like every day cardio, every day in the red field. You know, like a car, you go in the red every day.
Yeah.
It's not good. All right. You need maximum three, four.
In a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need like 1 to 2 rest days, 100% in the week. Yes. If you train on a high level, you need 1 to 2 complete rest days where you don't do nothing. This is very
Some of them do not at all rest day. They don't train every day, 2 trims there because we share our plans. I'm like, that's too much, brother. But you're young, you have the energy, you will learn. And many of them get injured because of that. They don't recover very well. You gotta listen to your body. It is true. But you learn. You know, you get wiser when you get older. That's what I learned with fighting. You start here with your athletic ability and your stamina and everything and how wise you are here. And this it's like a chart that follows. The years, you know, the years go and then I feel like I'm here now, the golden middle now. I've declined a little bit maybe in my, you know, because I'm not so young anymore. But
you mean stamina?
Yes, and everything. You know, you're getting older. You're not so young. You're not so fresh. You don't recover. Mm-hmm. Now I need more time to recover. Mm-hmm. I hit my bone. It takes a little more time to heal. But I'm smarter than before. That's why I'm much better fighter than I was before, even though I had, you know, my computer is much better. You know, so maybe they have the body, but I have the better computer.
How old are you now?
37.
All right. So you feel like that's like a golden point, like a sweet spot.
I feel, and definitely, you know, there's age 37. It means I've been 37 times around the world, around the sun. Mm-hmm. You know, one, yes, but not for me. My biological age is much younger. I feel like 30 inside. Mm. It is what you do. Like Mess, he has a very good lifestyle, trains every day. He's young. Now he's about to have his pro boxing debut.
No.
I was at your debut. But still, you know, he can do it still, even, you know what I mean?
In my age,
yeah,
that's what you
because
mean.
Because he has kept his, you know...
His training high.
Yes, training, because he loves biohacking, as so do you and
yes,
me.
Yes, I do.
We try to do everything to optimize our health and eat right and do... That's how you keep younger for a longer time. Before, in the old days, 30 years, you were done. Now, this is the new 20s, brother. You know, that's why you see some of the fighters. You see, Yoel Romero is 45 still.
Yeah,
playing.
Yeah.
Champs are 42 years old. The best age in MMA is 30s.
Of course, most champions, MMA is not football, right?
No, yeah. It's just
football,
running.
Like 25,
yeah, yeah.
28, you're done.
Brother, they run their kilometers over like a car, you know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
They ruin themselves. Too much running. Yeah. But MMA, you got to train smart. There's lots of ways to train, not just run. I don't run so much because I try to spare my knees and everything. You have to think like that. Don't spar every day. It's
so
your
how
brain.
Do you get your stamina then? If you
I use
the air bike?
Airdyne, yeah. Right. That's the hardest. It's harder than Airdyne. Skier and row. Row, that's the thing.
Rowing, yeah.
And then I have this guy we have in our club, Martin Prasse, is very good. He's like geek. He reads.
He's your cardio stamina coach,
yeah,
no?
Yeah.
He always helps
coach.
You to each,
yeah.
each fight.
And this what guy, did you learn from him?
I learned. I never been in better shape before I met him. And he told me how to train, you know, zone 2, all these different zones. I never knew about this before. I just thought, go to the gym, max out. Yeah, you go, no, that's wrong. You need to train zone 2 training. That's like easy training. First you measure, you do some measuring. This guy, I tell you, he's like a geek. He's like professor. He measured my VO2 max. Then he knows when I switch. Because when you're low exercising, you use fat. When you go up in the heart, you use the good fuel. That's the carbohydrate.
The glucose.
The glucose,
muscle, yeah.
Yes. So me, about 150 beeps in minute, I go to glucose from fat. Mm-hmm. So when I want zone 2 training, for me, it's like under 150.
So that's like where you burn fat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But that's why also my zone 2 lays. So about 1 hour I'll sit on the bike or I switch, you know, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. But for an hour I switch and I keep it, I must not go over, you know, I keep it under and over 120 or 125.
So what's like red zone for you, zone three?
Yeah, that's, you know, high intensity intervals that it's called anaerobic, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. There's aerobic, that's like the easy, and anaerobe, it's like without oxygen. Yeah. That's like high intensity, that's like 170, 180, that's max.
Is that, so, what, is that what we're going to train tomorrow? Damien, yes, is going to train me tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow you're going to do high intensity max. You're going to do, you're only going to give it all you can and 10 seconds and 20 seconds rest for 8 rounds. That's 4 minutes. We're going to do 3 of those. Oh, right. And that is training without oxygen. And when I do this zone 2, it is with oxygen. That's how, let's say, bicycle riders train. They have the best zone 2 in the world. They could go on. You see these Tour de France guys, fucking crazy stamina. They could go on, you know. The most they train is zone 2. Yeah. They just keep in that. That's how you get more ATP, more, you know, this better blood.
Energy, yeah.
Yeah, better blood. This mitochondria, more mitochondria. Yeah, that's what's right. What gets your, you know, last time I did my blood work, my doctor's like, wow, your blood is good. Yeah. Everything was on point. I needed nothing.
Perfect.
Everything he says, wow, it's.
And do you know?
And he never said that before.
Do you know if you're relaxed, like now, sitting?
Yeah, I always learned
yeah,
so about.
What's your pulse? What's your beats per minute? In a relaxed state.
Yeah, it depends where I'm. If you're now without training, you know, when I'm in training, off to a fight, when I sleep, we are different. When I sleep, it's like. It can be from 40, 45 to 50, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, now it's like 55, yeah. 50.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my sleep.
You know, I'm asking because yesterday I visited my grandmother and she's 94 years old. And of course she has this this thing, you know, to measure
yeah,
the blood
pulse,
pressure
yeah,
and
yeah,
everything,
bro, yeah.
You know. And I was sitting there and I was making fun, you know, just measuring. And then I was like, okay, my rest pulse is a little bit too high. So I was just sitting there with my grandmother drinking tea and it was like 75 or 80. So it was like a little bit too high. So that's why I was
But did you drink coffee before that? Did you
I drank one coffee, yeah.
Yeah, you were up, maybe you sat down. If you want to really measure it, sit down for 10 minutes, try to relax.
Yeah.
And then measure it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so maybe
I have to. I have to put some work. Yeah, I think I did too much weightlifting. Less,
too
not
much.
Enough cardio.
And listen, what I say also to people, I just say this: weightlifting, it's for your muscles and your joints and bones. But if you want to train your heart, you want to live long. You got to train cardio. Mm. That's your heart. That's how you train your heart. That you make your heart stronger, because. When I was at the EKG, the heart monitoring, I came back to get my results. I had to send them. Then this woman looked. She went out. She get this doctor. Because my other doctor, he was busy. I just came to get the results. You know, I know. But then the other woman, she came like, Damir, you got to sit down. I was like, what?
Oh,
like,
wow.
I send you. I need to go to hospital now. She's like, what? Your left heart chamber is bigger than usual. I'm like, do you mean I have a sports heart? Oh, yes. Oh, you make me scared. That's what we do. For training, I made my heart left, venstra jarekamma, left heart chamber bigger. That's what we athletes do. Because I have a stronger heart, it's called a sports heart. So normal heart, it says, duk, 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 duk. But my heart says, duk. Took less in long run, less heartbeats because it's
perfect.
Stronger. Yeah,
perfect.
That's why many bicycle riders, they fell off bike in the country, they take them to the hospital. They always, oh, there's something wrong with his heart. It's enlarged. No, he has sports hearts because they only used to handling people, normal people. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
not sports people.
Not sports people. Yeah.
Yeah. Even
but,
though
but
she was
but
a
it's
doctor,
better the way, this
it's
way,
better.
Right?
It's better because then I. It's
the heart has to work less.
Less. That's right. Lesser. It works lesser and it's stronger. And in time, when you stop one day, it will shrink a little bit down. You know, but it's good for athletes. It's called heart. It's the left. Yeah.
So, brother, tell about the first MMA fight that you did. You remember the first fight
yes,
that you did?
Yes, I remember 100%.
Was it to Fighter Gala
yes,
back then?
Yes, it was Fighter Gala. Yes. My first, you know Alexander Gustafsson?
Yes.
Yes, his last amateur fight was my in the same event. I opened the first fight against this guy Wing Chun. knocked him out 36 seconds. I didn't know what to feel like over there. Wow. And I used my boxing, double jab, right hook. I still remember how I landed the look on his, my hook on his chin. Yeah, the side of the head. And he just, I remember slow motion, him just, his eye go up and he just goes down.
It was a completely knockout.
And in the beginning in MMA, we had count. It's called shoot fighting. There's no hitting on the ground. So when he falls down from a knockdown, he has to be counted to eight. But he counted one, two, three. And I could see he couldn't even look. He was just looking down. You know, his whole earth was spinning around. He stopped the fight. Yeah. But I had the first fight. Amateur Alexander Gustafsson had the last amateur fight of the night, and then he went over to pro, and I started my amateur career.
Gustafsson's also a great guy. I saw him live two times also.
He fought when I fought in Sweden that night where I got knockout. Yes. He proposed his wife, actually.
Yes, I remember. Yep. And then, that's the best feeling.
Brother, that's the best feeling. But it was short, 36 seconds. You can see somebody put the music into it, like something.
I always say, that feeling even beats sex.
Brother,
no, it's only a fighter knows that. Only who has been in the ring and then he wins and it's...
Because you overcome something. The pressure down there and the pressure up here is something different.
Yeah.
Because when you... Before your fight, you have a little doubt in yourself. Especially the first fight. How should I react? Everything is new to you.
I
was like... I tried to pace myself. I'm going to go crazy. But that was the wrong. I didn't know that, you know. You have to become different, you know. But still, I won, you know, but it was the best feeling. That's why you continue to do it. You have one more fight.
So how many amateur fights did you had before you went into pro?
I think I had 14.
Yes.
14 amateur fights, 13, 14. Winning then, 10 of them, especially, I remember,
And then you started pro, and you started pro by auto, or did you start pro by... Okay.
Yes, Otto, he gave me first pro fight.
What was it called back then? What was it called?
Fighter Gala.
What was it called, Fighter Gala?
Yes, it was called Fighter Gala. It was the Fighter Gala was the original.
Yes.
Fighter Gala, it was amateur, and then it became FG Fight Night.
Was this the one you transformed when you joined the organization?
Yes.
Now, you're the owner of FG Fight Night.
With John, Fighter Gala was the first MMA event on Danish soil. Mm. It was where people could come in amateur to try out. I also think he did a little bit of pro fighting that also, no? In Fighter Gala, was it completely amateur?
No.
Also pro, no?
No, straight from the beginning, they also had pro, but it was one, two. In the beginning, it was like one guy, two guy, three. And then it got like, okay, now
more
we have
and more.
Half card this, half card that.
Yes.
And then because more guys, you know, came from amateur and became pros, also from Otto's gym, it was Monjo, so there was more. These guys, Sonny. Now we began to have more guys, you know.
And Rosman, you know what? The first time I saw Egelin fight, it was back in 2012. He fought about Rosman.
Yes.
And I even betted with Valder. We said a bet of €500.
And that Rosman would win. You put on.
He put €500 on Christian, of course, and I put €500 on.
He didn't come out from round. I think he something. Yeah.
No. He Egelin was in front on points.
Yeah,
and he I have to say, I like David very much, David. Big respect to you, David. I like both of you, but that fight, he was on top. But then Christian hit, and he bowed down his head, David, and Christian hit him directly, and so he broke his hand.
Yeah, I remember there was something. Yeah, because I remember he stopped.
Yes,
he couldn't continue.
He couldn't continue. Yeah, there. But so you didn't the first pro fight was to that one. To the Fighter Gala.
Fighter Gala.
How did that fight went?
It was good. I got a Dutch kickboxer.
Okay.
This guy, Alan Brifkani, I remember.
Fuck, they're so hard.
Yeah, they're hard.
Dutch are so fucking hard.
But I stand with him first round.
Yeah.
And then I swear, I also got injured.
Yeah.
I injured my hand. I hyper.
Oh, you won the fight?
Yeah, I won the fight.
Oh, wow.
But because extended this tendon?
Yes, brother. I don't know what happened. No, but bro, I put my cast. I couldn't move it. Luckily, nothing happened. I had like 2 weeks, and then it became normal.
But you're so fucking hot.
We both threw hands, I think.
And then
And then both hands like did, and my hand. Bro, you can see the video. I like this. Fuck, I do like this, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, something. And I think to myself, if this goes to second round, I don't know if I can get out. So I get out, you know. So I take him down. I take the chance.
So to understand, you had the same like me with the you broke the bicep.
I didn't broke anything.
Oh, okay.
Doctors said it wasn't broke, but
okay. Just overextended.
I extended. Okay.
In your case, it was totally ripped off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, Dami had that also. Yeah, but what one? Yeah. Which one?
I have
of
a pectoralis.
Oh, in the chest.
The chest, bro.
So you
yeah,
tear
yeah
off
pectoralis.
The chest,
it's yes. Pectoralis. Yeah. But brother, in the fight, even with adrenaline, I can feel it. You know, adrenaline helps. You cannot feel it. This, yes. I felt it.
Fucked, and the pain must have been
and
so.
And then I thought, you can see how I hold my hand. And then I thought to myself, and I'm like, damn, I don't think I can go out to second round.
Yeah.
If this, you know, because you get cool a little down and you get other thoughts. And then I tried to take him down. I took him down, mounted him. No. Fucking ground and pound the shit out of him. And this referee, I don't know, he wanted me to kill him. I've ground and pounded him a long
time.
He
didn't time. Want to
stop it. Yeah, and then finally he stopped it. I'm like, yes. And then mm-hmm. I felt the pain. Yeah, because fuck. It's like adrenaline. When you stop a fight, down. Adrenaline comes off a little yeah. bit. Then I felt it. I was stupid at that time. I drove a car over there. Then I remember driving home like this. I have this hand in, you know, in...
Yeah, it's a string.
Yeah, it was manual, so I drove like this.
So then from this fight, how did you get up all the way up to the UFC?
Then I went 4-0. Then I met this guy who was a very good wrestler, Andreas Ståhl from Sweden. I took the fight, but you know, every fight you try something new. This time I tried to go down to welterweight naturally. So I weighed in like 78 kilos without cutting. And this guy's a wrestler. He came in heavy. You know, he came in heavy, took me down. I couldn't get up for 3 rounds. He couldn't finish me. But this guy later... undefeated, went to the UFC and a UFC career. So this is my first loss. So I fought on, and then I again met another different UFC fighter, Jotko. He actually fought in middleweight. Mm-hmm. I'm a lightweight, you know. We fought in welterweight.
But the first UFC fight you had, that was against the Wolverine guy.
Yeah, the one Chai Sumo. Yeah,
fuck. Yeah, I never forget that fight. I remember you called me afterwards. Yeah. You were so sad. And
yeah,
I just and yeah, yes, yeah, your heart was broken, and you remember that I told you that you even had this you guys, you have to remember this guy. Nobody had the balls to fight him.
Yeah, he was. That was
yeah, yeah. No. Nobody wanted to fight him. Yeah. So then they called the Boston Bombers. Oh, you said 100%. I'm up for it.
I never said no. Trying to fight.
Yeah,
I never will.
Yeah.
You cannot fuck with destiny like that in fighting. You never know. Yeah. So, you say no to this guy, you say yes.
He's a fucking badass.
Check it as it is. Yeah, this was my first fight I lost in UFC. Yeah,
but there was one of his last fights also, not before he went retired.
No, 1, 2, 3 more.
Okay, yeah, how did that go, you know?
I don't know, he never fought so much. Oh,
okay. But he was
good, he was coming. He has a lot of fights also, he came from wrestling background, you know. And he was good, I had a very good round. Then I get cocky, I hit him a couple of times. I'm like, I'm going to go after him.
What do you mean by you getting cocky?
Yeah, like I hit him a couple. I'm like, yes, now it's going. And now I'm trying to finish you.
So you were a little bit losing
all
your
excited,
confidence.
Yes,
exactly. I'm like that. That's my problem sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't like to try to point. I think, hey, if I can finish this guy, I want to finish him. Mm-hmm. I try to kick hard, punch hard. You know, I try always to finish a fight. Always, if I can hit you hard, I would try to hit you hard.
So that's something that you're working on, like the strategy?
Yeah, I try to, yeah, but it's fucking hard when you're fighting. When you go to autopilot, then you go to your back old. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Again, I cut in training, I kill myself. I'm like, no, calm down. Be more faithful, you know. Don't just try to, you know, always put damage. Try to win rounds. But as I became wiser,
yes.
I became better. Now, much better now. But that was like that at the beginning. I hit him a couple of times, like, I want to try to finish you. And then he caught me with an overhand. And then he rocked me with an uppercut. Mm. I sat down, the judge stopped the fight right away.
Yeah, you were not even knocked.
No.
That was the thing.
It was a knockdown. Yeah. He set me on my ass. He rocked me. And then this hook come and he pushed me over. You can see in the video. And then I'm like, sit on my ass. And then I knew when he stuck. Fuck. I was.
But you were not. But you were not happy with that.
No.
You were ready to fight. You were ready to fight.
Next fight, yeah. I got this guy. He gave me this guy in Stockholm. This coming Scandinavia. I'm getting this guy. He's a very good grappler. He's famous in the grappling world.
What is his
name? Polish guy, Marcin Held.
Yeah.
Very.
Oh yeah, I remember the fight.
Yeah, you were there. Yeah. Very good fighter. He's like top, you know, in the world. Also grappling wise, ADCC. He's won multiple times. Good grappler. And he took me down too, a couple of times in 2 rounds. Then third round, I knew how he fights and what he's gonna do. So we practiced these things, And in the third round, it takes time before you find your timing. You cannot just go in and find. You have to read every opponent, everything. And it was in first round, I hit him with the same technique. I hit him in the chest. One of the first, you know. And then again, and the third time in the third round.
Then he got the famous knee.
Yeah. I got him the knee. Poof, brother, he was out. It was the first fight. Again, how I started my MMA amateur career. I was the first fight on the card, Alexander Gustafsson. He was the last fight. It was this also in Stockholm. I was the first fight on the card. He was the last fight, you know. And I won. Wow. Again, I won by knockout. And he also won.
Like destiny.
And yes. Also last time, he also won by knockout in that. So I won by knockout. He fought against Glover Teixeira. He knocked him out.
Yeah.
And he proposed to his girlfriend. But I got $50,000 extra. A letter from Dana White.
Please tell us about this.
Steph, I sent it you on the in our group on WhatsApp.
You're gonna blend it in.
The letter from Dana White.
Nice. It was signed by Dana. It says like, you know, thank you for being a part. You're the good, and it's like you never gave up or something like that. You know,
it's like a motivation.
Yeah,
speak,
it's motivation. 100%. Yeah. That's what like one
knockout of the evening.
Yes. It was knockout of the night. Yeah,
you got $50,000 for that.
Yeah, brother. I was crazy. I remember we were sitting. In Twitter, we were reading. I knew, like, okay, I have knockout. Somebody else, also Gustafsson, you know, maybe they gave him performance. We were waiting, and then they say my name. You know,
wow.
My and Kukchi, my coach, we screamed in the bus. Ah, yes, Ralph. My second fight, 50,000. Yes.
Yeah, wow.
And I was about to get married also. So,
that's perfect.
Yes, I think it can be better, you know. It's not cheap to get married, brother.
Yeah.
And then you not only got the 50, but you also got the 25 for the victory, you know?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. That was a good payday.
Yeah. I came home with $80,000, and plus later I got some sponsor money, and then UFC they always good. Always 2 months later, always after fight night, I don't know what they collect. Then they always send you like $3,000.
Yeah, wow.
Like extra, always. Thank you being a part of the night. Yeah. Thank you for your performance. They always send you a little extra money.
That's good.
Yeah, UFC are good, and they always very good give organized. You money before you come. Always 2 weeks before you have to go, they send you $1,000 about.
Yeah.
So you
motivation.
So you can buy food and in a week before.
They take good care of the fighters.
We know fighters are broke. They know if they need the last week, you know, you put all your money.
Nah, was this the fight night, the UFC fight night in Hamburg we were talking about?
No, this was Stockholm. Mm-hmm. This was Stockholm. Okay. Yeah, this was Stockholm.
Well, Hamburg. In
Hamburg, I fought the next fight, I think.
And when was it?
In 2018? In Barclay Arena, yes.
Barclaycard Arena in Hamburg.
Barclaycard Arena.
UFC event.
UFC event, Barclaycard Arena in Hamburg. Right. I fought German guy, Nick Hein.
How did
Hein.
That go? Nick Hein.
I think he's from Cologne, Köln.
He's a police guy?
Yeah, he's a police guy, Panzer, Nick Hein. He's a good guy, you know. He's fought a couple of years in UFC. Mm-hmm. I must say, not because we are now in Hamburg, Germany. Brother, Hamburg is the best city I ever fought in. I've been in. I love it here. It's close to where I'm originally from, Esbjerg. It's close to Denmark. I was to Sweden 2 times and fought. I still think this is much closer to home, like food-wise and everything.
Yeah.
Hamburg was the best city I fought in.
Yeah, I think also Hamburg is the most livable, most lovely city.
I love it. I have it just walking outside. I just love it. So beautiful here. Good weather, clean, you know, cultural, beautiful building. I just love Hamburg.
Yeah, we have a lot of green, a lot of green sides, a lot of lakes, a lot of water.
So I have really good experience from Hamburg. Nothing bad. Yeah, I fought this guy. I won 3.
So how was the event here in the Barclaycard Arena?
It was good. It was filled. Yeah, filled with the German police officers. because I didn't remember. I didn't know that you were in the back, you know. Get ready. Then I go out, I see. You know, you notice when you go by, you see all these banners with something, police or something. Mm-hmm. And then Messi told me later, there was police everywhere.
Yeah, I was there with Morten. We had the thing was we bought a VIP lounge.
Yeah.
So there was very nice setup in Hamburg. Very nice setup. They have these VIP lounges, and then we shared it with like I think 8 other people, and there was with food, everything. And then they had like a balcony out to the. So we went out there. And I just saw, I said, "Man, fuck, we're just surrounded only by police." And everybody, and then on the left, Nick, and on the right, Hein.
Okay. Yeah, it was like that. Wow, it was choreographed.
Yeah. They were
strategy. Police strategy.
And you know what, like old street dogs around me and mom beside it.
Wow.
Hey, cap. But they laughed about that. They saw that, and then we were standing with the Dami Hachevich, and we were just screaming out your name, and that was a brawl, that fight. I saw the picture. You have to send that also to me, the picture from him. You have to blend that in the video.
I was a little more cautious this fight, because the last fight, this guy took me down, and I think this guy, he won't stand with me. He wants to take me down because he's judo black belt and he has also good jiu-jitsu. Why shouldn't he take me down? So all the way I jab, I like, come on, he's going to go for the takedown. And I could hear his coach yell. His coach was famous Dutch kickboxer. Yeah. I don't really right now remember the name. Yeah, definitely. I don't want to think about it, but he's a famous Dutch. I know this guy. And I'm like, okay, he's not trying to take me down. So I was a little more cautious. So I just tried to jab him real hard. Mostly, I just want to jab, jab.
You jabbed him really hard. That's indeed. Well, his face looked like a traffic accident.
Very, brother.
It will post his viral all over.
That's what I say. I always try to, I always try to do it too hard.
Yeah. But you know what? He was a very sympathetic guy. Also, the things that he said after the fight.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, big respect to Nick Hine.
Very good. All the best to him.
I hope that he has a good retirement.
Every dude you fight with, every guy, there's some kind of respect afterwards. Yeah. We two men go in together to fight, you know, and after that, we go on our way. Some lose, some win, but we go our way. We work together. We fight for the same thing. We have family at home. You know, somebody got to lose, somebody go home, and next time it'll be different.
That's the way it has to be.
Yeah. That's why when I fought this guy in Vegas.
Is it the Brazilian guy? Why it was such a brawl? Because that fight I want to hear more about.
No, that was the Yancy Medeiros. That was a brawl. Yeah. But we went at it, you know. I should have got the fight or not. That 100%. Yeah. Brother, that fight was crazy.
But you won that fight.
Yeah, I won
that fight. That fight was fucking unbelievable.
But I knew we fought for a place.
Las Vegas also, no?
I knew he was his last fighter contract and also mine. So I know the winner, we got a new contract, and the loser, they will get fired from UFC. And when I won, I knew I would win. Bro, I beat him up 2.5 rounds.
I got
tired of beating him up. Yeah. So in the last half round, he took me down, hold me down because I was so tired. I couldn't finish him. He's that guy, Yancy Medeiros. He's famous for taking a beating. You cannot finish him. No, he's like Nate Diaz.
He's
friends with Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz also wrote, well, that's what I call a fight, you know, something. He tweeted. But this guy, I was tired, all due respect, you know. But when they announced me the winner, I went over, I kissed him on his head. I feel bad for him because I knew he gave air. He was sad. He wants to win. I don't know why. You know, as a fighter, you know, he also probably has a daughter, you know. He wants to be in there, you know.
Yeah, but
and somebody go. Yeah,
somebody win and somebody loses.
In that moment, after a fucking bloody fight, I felt that in the moment. I feel bad for this guy. I don't know why. I just got compassion for him. It's crazy. Yeah. But you learn that as a fighter because.
Well, that's one of the things that I love about you so much. You have such a good heart. Yeah. You have a big heart.
I feel really bad. You can see. I see my video. I feel fuck. Somebody. Hey, it's better him than me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that was one of my best fights because I didn't want to lose. I came, and my son was just born. I came over there. I took off Saturday, Monday. You know, it was afternoon over there, Sunday afternoon, but Monday morning in Denmark. My wife, she wrote me, "Skat" with a, it means darling with a question mark. Brother, I knew how she, I knew right away. Oh my God, it's now. You know what I mean? When you know somebody. I called my brother, go over there. You know, I was nervous, but in 2 hours she gave birth. Then perfect. I can concentrate on the fight. Yeah. That was the worst thing.
Very good.
Wow, that's hard, man. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of feelings going on inside you.
So next week before, then it was Sunday, Monday. So I know, now he's born. So I can first see him in 7 days. Mm-hmm. Now I have the fight week, the fight. But I won. And, you know, because I think that was good. I didn't see him. Maybe if I saw him, I would have time leaving him over my baby boy.
Maybe,
you know?
Yeah.
But it probably was good. I just knew the mother and baby was okay.
Okay, and then you could concentrate.
And my family was there.
Relax.
Her family, they're all good. Brother, now it's time to go to war. Yeah. You know, now I don't think about my woman and children, you know.
Yes.
If they,
they're
if,
all good.
If
they're
I'm
all
not
good.
Sure if they're safe, you cannot do your back mind.
You cannot do your best.
You cannot do your best.
So let's tell us, please, about how was it to fight in Vegas? And how was it on the UFC training camp in Vegas?
It was good. I've been a couple of times training camp in Vegas. But before my fight, I didn't go to training camp. I did all my training in Denmark.
Is it a great gym?
So was it your first time in the United States?
No, no. I've been there a couple of times. Okay. I've been in States in 12, 17, 19,
that's
21.
Good. So you were not so
excited,
yeah,
no, no.
Not so
but
nervous.
Still. No, no, no. It's nothing to do with this. It's something to do with jet lag. That's the fucked up thing.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Vegas, it's 9 hours behind, let's say now. The
so how much time you need to get rid of the jet lag?
They say a thumb rule, you know, they say some. They say 1 hour, 1 day. So if it's 9 hours, as it is from
so
Denmark,
you need 2 weeks.
So you need 9 days almost, yeah. A week and a half, something, yeah. And still, when you come the first day, I wake up like 4 in the morning, I wake up. Because that's 1 in the noon in Denmark. Like, my body said, what the fuck are you doing? It's 1 in the clock in my body. What are you sleeping for? Even though I stay awake at 12 o'clock, 4 hours later, I'm fresh as an eagle, brother. I cannot sleep. Couple of days go, then you get used to it. But then, you know, you can feel a little bit. Actually, first time I went over there to fight Yancey, I got sick. I should have fought.
I remember that.
I got
sick. But then you got the rematch.
I got the rematch.
So you got so sick there was no way to fight.
Brother, I was influenza. I have fever. I tell you, if I wouldn't fight, I say fuck fighting, because you know how you feel when you're sick.
Yeah.
You cannot even go up and take a piss.
Yeah, I remember.
You know how you feel, and it was after weigh-ins. We were sitting and watching. It was Bellator in the podium. I feel like this something, and I'm gonna lay down and sleep a little bit, bro. I woke up. I was hot. You know, fire.
You went to the hospital.
Yes, yeah, in the morning.
Really high
fever. I got hospital. They checked me. They said it was in the corona time. We got tested every day. I'm like, my God, I got corona now. I cannot go on airplane home. And my wife is pregnant. It was before she was pregnant. Fuck. But they said to me, hey, you got a virus, but it's not corona. There are some like 100 strains, but it's not corona.
Yeah.
So I could leave home, you know, but it was virus. So I came back 3 weeks later. I remember you go over there, you make weight. I made weight. We face off, I get sick, I go home, no money, no nothing. And then, again, you have to adapt to Danish. Then again, you have 3 weeks. That means, fuck, I have to get a little bit more in shape, because you cannot just do nothing. It fucks up your whole training schedule.
Rhythm, yes.
So that fucked me. And then again, I have to go in 3 weeks, again cut weight, again stretching.
Wow.
My wife was pregnant, she gave birth, and I'd sleep like shit, and I said to myself, I'm going in there to brawl today, I don't give a fuck.
So you already, you cut weight, you had the face off, and then you got sick.
And
but
then
how much
I get
time
so
was between face off and the set fight? It's 1 day or 2 days?
One day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you
it was in the morning, the face off, it's like 12 o'clock in the noon, and it's the fight was next day, like, yeah. But I remember the day I fought, the Denmark spell again, Wales, it was European Cup. Denmark won, because I asked Daniel Cormier, what's the score? He told me, I'm like, yeah, we won, and I won. I fought when they started, because we were watching the soccer match on the my phone, you know.
So how was it? You also fought in Brazil.
That was the place.
In Las Vegas was the only place I didn't manage to come.
Yeah,
but
Brazil
was
also crazy. The Brazilians.
But I remember Kupti told me it was like
territory,
it was so poor.
How about
so
the Latinas
poor
over there?
It's not so. Yeah, it's all right. It's nothing crazy.
But I don't remember that fight. That fight you lost, no?
Yeah, yes. We were first time in Belém. It was in the north part of the Belém. It's poor, brother.
Yeah.
Streets, everything, you know. Yeah.
Very dirty.
The
no?
hotel, yeah, a little, you know, it's not to be. The politicians.
I remember I spoke with Kupti.
The hotel doesn't even have a drive-in. It's like a sidewalk, and there's the hotel. Yeah. You cannot even order food at night, you know. It's fucking dirty politicians, you know. Yeah. I feel bad for the people, but it was in the Amazonas, you know. That's where Machida is from.
Yeah.
You know? But people were nice and everything. And it's like typical Brazilian tradition, you know. They have soccer and a church. It was like a big stadium and a big church.
Yeah.
And because they were so dangerous over there, they told us, don't go out with jewelry, and everything. They roll everybody, you know. And when we went to the stadium, the police blocked the whole road. We were not stopping at all. Because of security measures.
Yeah, wow.
Imagine the whole city, it's a 2 million city. They stop everything and just make a road for us to drive, police escort all the way. We didn't stop at one red.
Wow. It was necessary.
It was necessary. Crazy. Because over there, they throw things at you. They know, oh, this is the opponents. Yeah. They throw tomatoes and everything. Yeah. I haven't experienced that. But I talked to Anthony Smith, all these guys, they say they threw everything at us. They're coffee. Miocic, them, I know his manager already, or his own man. I know him very good. He said when they won in Brazil, they threw hot coffee at them, tomatoes, everything. They have to have security. If you win in Brazil, you have to have security escort you out. You know, because they don't like to lose. Tell you, get the fuck out. Yeah. You know? They're like that. They are very tribal people. Yeah. Umae, you must die. They shout that when you go in.
Umae?
Umae, you must die. You must die.
So, brother, let's go to where I also was, the last fight you had. Because that despite that you lost, once again, you just showed me what a fucking brutal warrior you are. Because in the first round, the accident happened with your knee, no?
Yeah, so I tore my ACL.
That's like the
also
worst.
Also, my both meniscus.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, if people don't know, ACL is the cross bone. It's the thing that holds your shin bone together with your knee. Yes. And if you don't have that, if you do something fast, explosive, it feels like, imagine having a banana peel in between. It's like this. You feel like it goes like, you know.
And despite that, it just shows how warrior heart you have. You fought all the rounds, and you then lost on points.
Yeah.
But my point with this case is just to tell to the people, because I was there live with Morten, and I remember I said to Morten, something is wrong with there because I know how you fight because I know you for so many years. And I was right. And you said, you know, I already had it in the first round. And you still keep fighting all the rounds.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind when the first round was finished and you were sitting and you know that something was wrong with your leg? How come that you said, you know what, fuck it. I'm still going to go out there and fight in the last round?
Because there's always a chance. Because if you don't take a chance, you lose 100%.
That's true.
Even though I lost. Because I remember when it happened,
Couldn't you feel the pain?
Yes, I feel pain. Yeah. But I must also say that I injured something before 3 months before I had also knee injury.
Okay.
I reopened.
So you
something.
Thought it was dead?
Yes. So I always, took a month off, then, you know, trained it up. And then at the fight, we have something, you know, where he turned me around, brother. I could feel like, oh, I'm on the ground. And like, okay. I remember thinking, now I could just say, oh, I have feeling. I just try to write it out, see what happens. Yeah. Maybe you could get him a guillotine or something.
Yes.
And I just forgot about it, tried to. And I know he didn't know this, but it's like he knew every time he went for this leg when he tried to trip me out. He's, well, and you know, when you have an injury, when it hurts, it not hurt always, but in some things it hurts.
Yeah.
So I always had that in my mind. So you cannot free fight, you know, fight, you know what I mean? You have this
course.
In your
you
mind.
Yeah, of course. You cannot so keep 100%.
No matter what I did, I tried to check it down. Yeah. Oh, I feel the leg. Yes. I'm like, fuck. So
you cannot go all the way.
No, but it was shit, brother. It was my worst fight. I honestly hate that fight.
Yeah, but you show so much heart. Many, many others, they would have stopped at the first.
And that guy talked so much shit also. Yeah, you know, but fuck it was that. Bad sport, this guy. I never fight this guy for that. What's the deal with that? You know, it was my worst fight, and I haven't fought since then, so I'm really annoyed.
But you all back in February, you should have fought.
I should have fought in Vegas. I should have fought about the 10th February. I had a good matchup, everything. I was ready.
And then brother, what with the working visa?
Bishop, I was in 17 January, gave them my pass. You know, I have two times before in 17 and in 21, I had working visa, P1 it's called.
Yes.
Well, you can work because I have to work in the U.S. I fought in 21, but I haven't heard from them since.
So they still have your passport?
They still have a passport. Yes. It's in. They call it procedure. UFC cannot do anything anymore. They pushed it. Yeah. I got a fast, you know, meeting with them. Yeah. They paid. They got so it's in this procedure now.
Procedure like what Bad Boy Petty.
Yeah, Petty Pimlet, because we have the same manager. The manager, Graham Boylan, he told me it's happened the same with him. He waited 6 months to get his working visa, and the embassies are the biggest pain in the ass. You cannot do anything when that's in depth. That process procedure.
You cannot do it. You cannot do anything to speed it up.
They tried. They know. when it's done, it's done. They don't know. They don't give a fuck.
That's pretty bad.
That's shit, brother. So, I'm waiting. So now.
So what is now? Because you still have contract with UFC for how many fights?
I still have three fights on the contract. Wow. UFC can always. They have the power. But
Shown so goodwill and so much throughout the years.
That's why UFC wants you to come to fight.
Yes.
They don't want you to take safe. Even though they have some fighters before. You remember John Fitch?
Yes.
He won almost all his fights. He lost one fight. They caught him. That's they had the reason. Because he has boring fights. Yeah. All his fights go to distance. He didn't try to finish them.
Yeah.
When I fight, why should I go? I'm not paid by that hour. It's not. Yeah.
So you know what they want to see. So you
yes,
act like that.
But it's also, honestly, what you want to see? Do you want to see somebody who tried to point it out, or did say, hey, he tried to finish him. Now he tried to finish him.
You want to see fucking brutal, crazy
you
wanna stuff.
See, that's what I see. You want to see man shit, testosterone. Yeah. You want to see knockout, brother. Just bleed. You know, this guy.
I remember.
That's why UFC is so popular.
It is.
People want to see it. Yeah, it's like gladiators back in the ancient days.
You know what their motto is, slogan? As real as it gets. It's true. That's what we love. That's why it's so popular. People say this brutal, this, that. Why it's so popular? Because that's numbers don't lie. That's what people want to see. We are like that. Our fighting is in our DNA. Everything is fighting. The society, how you say, myrtle, you know, this between the layers.
Concrete.
The layers between, you know, that is violence in the society. If something goes wrong, who you call?
The strong guy, warrior.
No, you call the police. Ah. What does the police? They use violence.
Yeah, okay.
That's you need to have a society, you need violence. Everything works. We solve everything with violence. We hunt. We get.
That's the last point.
I think that's looked up for more perspectives. I think other people will not agree in that one, but it's true.
You know what I mean? It's not. It's brutal. It's sad. Yeah, but how can you have society if? Hey, please don't do that.
Yeah, of course.
You have jails. You put them in violently. You know, police cannot work without they have this. How you say?
Without the force.
Without the force. Yeah, of course.
And that is violence.
Yes,
of course.
Force is violence.
Yeah,
you can pack it in as you want to, but it is what it is. It's violence. And we are like that, how we hunt, how we do everything. It's in our DNA. We make war with each other, you know. We like, it's a part of who we are.
Less consequence,
as you say, what does it do when two football players, they try to push each other, they want to fight, you know. And when they fight, there's nothing more to do. Then you know who's the big dog. You see a football match, basketball match, tennis match, a fight.
Ice hockey.
Yeah, what you think everybody is going to watch that? Everybody want to watch that fight. Because, you know, that's the most exciting. It's something not everyone wants to do. And also that people love fighting because, they're doing something. They're so crazy. I'm never do it, but I have to
they
watch.
Respect it so
I
much,
respect it. They have the balls and courage
that's
to do
also
it.
The reason why, like, we speak for a percent like football, as a soccer in Denmark. That's Stig Tøfting, who is also a good friend of mine. And also Stig. And that he gets so much respect, and he was like a fucking pit bull on the lane back then. He didn't take no bullshit with so many fights, and that was the people they hated him and they loved him, but still everybody wanted to watch him fight because they knew everything can happen.
Yes, and everybody respected him.
Yeah,
if you didn't like him, you respected Steve. Everybody else today, you respect Steve because he didn't find nothing. And if you try to fuck with this guy, he will fuck back with you, and you don't want that.
And you can see now, Aarhus just played the finals against Silkeborg in Copenhagen.
Yeah,
and they had the whole backup. They are a better team. Respect for Silkeborg and congratulations on their victory to become champion. But that was once again. They need the Aarhus team disappointed. That's just not the way it is. They have the whole backup. They have the best team, but they don't have a strong leader like Steve. They don't have somebody. No, because
come on.
Yes.
Also mentally, that's also fighting. You know, it's good. Some of the most nicest people in the world are fighters. When you meet them, they have no big egos. Because we know how it is to lose and how it is to... There's always one stronger than the strongest, you know?
Yes.
So we try this. So we, you know, that's why martial arts is good for you. It helped me, like, save my life as we again speak. Before martial arts, I thought I was the baddest man, you know? Until you learn, these guys, they can also fight. Then you say, hey, it's small margin game, you know? This guy, he's strong. And
it can change throughout the
years. So you get more humbled. Mm-hmm. Martial arts humbles you. You see, we are human. We all have these weapons.
So you found your balance with
I
fighting.
Found my brother.
It's
balance.
Like the same like me.
It's
also.
Like my pressure ventil, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, when 2 or 3 days home, my wife say, go to gym. go train, to train. She can, you know, as men, we get riled up. As the society now, you know, it's not more of the strongest survivor, the fittest, you know. It's now, you know, the guy who complains, he gets right, or, you know, it's a lawsuit. It's not more about, you know, there's no more, like, for really
men are not allowed to be men anymore.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
There's no room for them. That's why they need to go to martial arts. You need to get something out.
Yeah.
We are born like this biologically. You cannot change biologic. You know, we are like what we are. They try to suppress it. They will only explode.
They try to cover it and try to give
like,
it other names.
Now, like your guy Nino in your
the other episode,
yes.
You have with Nino. Why you think Andrew Tate is so popular? Because they try to put a low, you know, on the you know,
an agenda.
Yes, and then it's blew out back on them.
Yeah.
No, we like what this guy is saying because we agree. No, we want to be.
Because
men.
He's speaking the truth.
He's speaking
about
the truth.
The men.
The men. Yes. We are what we are. We are this biology. You cannot change us biologically. We are what we are. That's how we're born. They're trying to think they can outsmart nature. It will backfire you. So,
brother. Now, you're waiting to get first of all the
working visa.
Yes,
the P1. Yes,
and then after that, you'll take contact to Graham.
Yes,
and Graham will fix.
He will contact them.
Yes.
They will find me a fight. That's
fight,
how it
yes.
is. 100%.
Yes.
That's the next step. So I'm just waiting. I'm training in blind.
Yeah.
I have to train every day.
But you're always on point. Yeah.
I'm always training. I need to. I don't want to.
I've never seen you as big as you are now. You look very good in this weight class.
I eat good now. Yeah. You know, because I also know my body. I know also.
Yeah,
I'm having a good time. If I want to lose 3 kilos, I will lose the next week. Healthy. I know how to do it. I know what to cut out. I know my body. That's why you become.
So what's your weight right now?
84, 83 kilos. When you become a fighter, you begin also, you know, diet, you know your body, you know many things, manipulation, everything.
I lost from 103 to, and I took the fight like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I went from 103 and I weigh 96, 95, 96 now. But I cannot.
What time, bro?
In 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. He knows his body. He knows his body.
But
it's
too much. But now it also fits too much.
Yeah.
That's also the reason that yesterday I did completely rest. And today I do rest. Tomorrow I train with you. Saturday I do rest. And then Sunday I train again. I cannot be allowed because I fight heavyweight like always. And you know, I start by professional boxing. You don't have super heavyweight. You just have heavyweight.
And what's the starting point for that?
91 kilos.
91.
So I don't want to lose.
What you want to fight?
I feel the best about like 98 kilos.
Yeah, that's what you feel. Why you feel best? Heavier is not always best.
Oh no.
Then you cannot move. You're slow. I seen without his shirt, he's perfect, toned, suits him very well. He has big, strong legs also.
And a fat ass. That's very important.
But that's important.
Yeah. I always, you know, it's sparring.
Legs.
I always see when I have a new sparring, you know, when you go to do sparring change, you know that, and you see your next man, you see he has a fat ass.
Yeah.
You just know he has a fat ass. You know,
brother,
he can hit fucking
thing.
Hard.
You know, nothing is, one thing I want to say about my injury, knee injury, nothing is so bad, it's not good for something.
Yes.
Everything that happens to me, I accept the life's fate for me, because what should I complain? I have nothing. If it happened, it happened. Move on. Make the best out of it. I have never had so strong legs. My takedown defense never been better because I focus on getting my legs stronger now. My knee, I have never had bigger legs than I have. Rather, my takedowns are very good on point. I am really strong.
We cannot wait for your next fight.
So
you're going to be ready.
I choose something.
Good way to think about it. Very strong.
Use everything.
Always
can you make some
positive?
Yes.
Exactly.
No matter what happens. If you cry, sit. Nobody cares, brother. I can sit, crumble.
There's
but
always some positive in the negative.
I always say that.
No matter what situation you're in, there's always some positive in the negative.
And it's crazy I say this, but I'm happy it happened because I'm so happy with my legs now. I feel so strong in them. And I've learned so much from... I took the time to learn so much new things. You know, everything happened for a reason.
To get your legs so strong, did you also do some weightlifting for the
also
legs?
Also that, yes. Mm-hmm. But mostly I did, honestly. The moment that is... I do this Airdyne thing, you know, this 1 hour, one time a week I do this, 1 hour just on this every week. Sometimes 2 times a week in high intensity, but brother, also weight training and every workout I start with 100 squats, 100 push-ups, but not right away, like 2020.
Yeah, so you separate them.
And then I go do this. Then I feel, oh shit, it's already...
Already pumped up.
Already pumped. And then I look, I, you know, try to, okay, don't go over 150. And then it's also mentally, in the fight, you always try it. So it's mental training also. Everything is training if you make it to.
Yeah.
So brother,
that's a good word.
We wish you all the best with your future career. I cannot wait for when I get the call and say, ah, I have a fight. And if it's not in the US, you know I'm going to be there. And yeah, thank you for a very nice podcast. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for sharing your fighter's wisdom. And we're all very excited. I think the audience too, very excited for your next fight.
Thank you, guys.
Do you have some last words you want to say?
I just want to thank you for having me, man. Thank you. You have been also good friends for the last many years. A very good relationship, especially a healthy relationship with sports and martial arts. You know, we have a lot of common. So it's very good to see you again and be here and meet you, Harry.
Thank you.
I love
your
podcast. I love also the name of your podcast, High Pressure.
You spoke about
all these
that
guys, yeah. It's about this high pressure jobs and, you know, when you're under pressure. But that's
exactly
how diamonds are made.
Yeah, exactly. No pressure, no diamonds,
no
bro.
Diamonds,
it's not possible without.
You cannot. Pressure, it breaks you or makes you.
Yes.
Most of us who are here, it makes us.
So that's the way it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can follow me on Instagram.
Follow me on Instagram. It's
Hadzo,
at
if
Hadzo.
They want to. Yeah.
Yes. Hadzo.
And honestly, I hope that I can fight in Europe. Because of
also, I can come.
Not
come.
So much. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my friends can come. I said, Spirit, don't come to US. It's too far. You don't need to come for me. Watch on TV.
I don't care how far it is.
Yeah.
I just have a little bit concerned about coming in the country because of my past.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the way it is, you know.
That's high pressure, brother. It's high pressure with you.
Yeah. But, yeah. Thank you, brother.
Thank you,
Damien.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.